to know.
And I have to tell you, Lutz, that, you know, we stopped Hello Africa for a while because of the problem with the Skype card for us to get guests down there. Mm. But I get emails constantly. I got an email from a fellow in Toronto who's Cuban. They fled Castro's tyranny. His father fought in the Boer, what I call the Boer-Cuban War in Angola, and said how great the South African army is. And people constantly go to our archives and they listen to Hello Africa, and there are people that love it. That we had on a nationally known radio host a few weeks ago. He could not believe when he went to our site the information that we have about what's going on in your country. And I am telling you, God put us for this reason, to tell the world, to give you a voice and to give your folk a voice so that people can know the truth about what is going on down there. I was in the hospital four times this year. Henry and the news guy know the reason, and I don't want to discuss it on the air. But after the last time I got out, I said, there's got to be a reason, and I cannot ever stop from speaking the truth or ever be afraid of speaking the truth. And a part of speaking the truth is what's going on in your country. And that truth has to be out there for people. We even have a news guy found out there's a black radio host who listens to the right perspective, because this guy was a vicious enemy of the Boer folk. But he listens because he's finding out what's really going on down there. We have people listening to podcasts of Hello Africa all over the world. I mean, literally. I'm not saying figuratively. I am saying literally listening to what you're saying. And that's why it's so important to continue this and have you guys on, you know, so people can hear this.
Well, Frank, I must tell you this, that from the Buddha folk, we want to thank you sincerely for what you are doing. I really see you as one of our best ambassadors and best friends from the outer world outside South Africa. And I really wish that we could one day have you here with us in South Africa, just to honor you for this, what you are doing, you and Peter and John. And I can't tell you how we appreciate it. And on behalf of the Buddha folk, I want to thank you, sincerely thank you for what you are doing for us.
Bye, Donkey. And if you fellas want to say something in Boer Taal to the audience, please do.
Yeah, Frank, could I just come in here quickly? What you are doing does not only concern us as Buddha folk in South Africa, but some of our people emigrated to the United States after the Anglo-Boer War, and these people settled in Texas and other states like California and so on. And these guys are bound by the happenings at Buffalo, just as we are, because they are descendants of the folk who married into American families, and they are bound exactly the same way as we are. So if there's anybody in one of these states listening in this morning, guys, you are bound by this vow exactly as we are. So the right perspective is doing a great job in carrying this message out to people who are descendants of the foot trackers, and people who participated in Blood River. And I can only thank you guys on my side for what you're doing and for carrying this message.
Anita Donkini.
Miskien die laaste woord in Afrikaans aan almal wat luister, wat Afrikaans praat, wil ons net hier uit mooi groen Suid-Afrika, waar het lekker gereen het op die meeste plekke, vir julle baie groete oordra. Ons wil julle by om op ons webwerf www.boerevryheid.co.za vir ons te kom kuier, kom sluit aan, word deel van ons virtuele gemeenskap of ons kubervolk wat ons besig is om op te bou, die boerevolk, sodat ons weer uiteindelik ons vryheid kan terugkry. Frank and John and Peter, thank you very much for this morning and for the broadcast, and we really enjoyed it being here with you, and all the best from us.
Thank you, bye, Donkey, and we're sure to have you back. We don't want to lose contact with you. We don't want to have the Boer folk think that we had forgotten them here on the Right Perspective. So let me say chuta on your Hussein, on your Frau. Kum asabli fir tot ziens. Ekedi teki baie chunit.
Frank, I'm not easily impressed, but I'm impressed.
Baie donkey.
Baie donkey, Frank. Baie dankie, Johan. Baie dankie ook vir Nieuwskaai. En Johan, blij jy het met vanmorgen ingeluister en jy het saamgesels, al was nou nie vreselijk baie nie. Maar baie dankie.
Baie dankie. We'll talk again.
Baie dankie.
Okay. En Johan...
Ja, geseënde Kersfees vir die mense wat het daar denk. Ons sê baie dankie. Ons sê lekker dag weer verder.
Okay. Bye-bye. En Johan... Do you have anything to say? Because we know you're pretty quiet there.
I think it was very interesting listening to the other guys, of course, Frank. But I also wanted to extend my thanks and appreciation from here from the United Kingdom. And I actually want to say a bit more. You're not only broadcasting the truth about the Boer folk, but I think you're also doing it for the United States and also the United Kingdom, because there aren't many sources of media nowadays that are truthful and honest. And I think you guys are actually one of the, well, I think at this stage, probably the only one I'm aware of. So well, I want to thank you for that as well.
Nita Duncany, you know, we don't want the Boer folk to think we've forgotten. First of all, it must have been good to hear people speaking fluent Afrikaans. I don't know how much of it you hear in the United Kingdom, but it's a great thing in today's world that we connected. I mean, they're in South Africa, we're here in New York City, you're there in the United Kingdom, and we're able to get people together. The news guy is up there in Iceland, so literally people that are half a world away and different time slots, different time zones, are able to communicate. And I always say this, and I've said this from the beginning, and people have caught on to this finally, that South Africa's present, I know, is America's future. I see it coming. You know, people living in a fantasy world, and they're ignoring who is in charge down there, and it's the same ideology and philosophy that wants to seize power in the West. You know, they've named the street that the U.S. consulate is on in Joburg is being named after the murderer Castro. You know, and over here, I'm sure, I mean, I know in the United Kingdom, there are people that love Castro, they support Castro, and that, you know, it's that mentality that's so dangerous, and that's why people have to be able to make the analogy and the connection between events down there and events going on over here in the West.
Oh, absolutely, Frank. I couldn't agree more. And that's why I've actually made it a point nowadays when I speak to people, because I don't normally talk about politics. But whenever I find people in the United Kingdom that are ecstatic about the prospects of Obama being the first, let's call it mixed race, president, I actually make a point of it to inform them of what I know about the guy and his background, and it's amazing just to watch the expression on people's faces, you know, when they like almost can't believe it, you know, where do you get this information from, and
sure,
you know, can it be trusted, And that's when you realize the absolute power of the liberal media. You know, it's absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why they hate this type of broadcast, because they can't do anything about it. That this is true democracy in action, that people finally have a forum. You know, this is, you know, this is not where, you know, I know here in America we had three networks on TV, you know, and it was controlled. The media was controlled. Now it's not controlled anymore, because people have the access. We built our own studio here in New York City. When you come in, you'll come down and do the show with us, we hope, and you'll see it. We're able to do, you know, to get this. And we were able to make contacts with them down there and have a unique position that nobody else wants to have. See, what's going on down there, Johan, is an embarrassment to the West. No matter how they try to spin it, what's happening there is an embarrassment, because they marched and they pontificated and they yelled and they screamed in your face about apartheid in South Africa and white minority rule in Rhodesia. Where are they now? Where are they now when this monster in Rhodesia is just murder, committing a genocide? Nowhere. Where are they that we hear about the horrible crimes that are being committed against the Boer folk in South Africa? Nowhere. I want them to apologize. So now we have something where we could prove that they were wrong all along, and plus we give a voice, an actual voice, to people who are experiencing it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But, of course, I'm not sure if I will ever see the day that a liberal will actually apologize for being wrong, because that would just be a right-wing conspiracy, isn't it?
Now, let me ask you. You settled in the United Kingdom. I know a lot of Boers went to either Australia or New Zealand, because I know in Australia, I guess the climate is similar. It's the southern, it's the antipodes. So why did you pick Britain, if I might ask? If I'm too personal, don't even bother to answer. But
not a problem at all. Frank, I was actually very fortunate when I was still in South Africa to be offered a position with one of the European airlines in their finance department. And that was basically our motive for moving to the UK.
Did you find
actually, funnily enough, I had a job offer from a consulting company in Texas, probably about 2 years to us, prior to us moving to the United Kingdom. But because I was still busy with my MBA studies at that point in time, I didn't want to interrupt it. So my main aim was basically just to get my son out of South Africa and just to make sure that he had a decent future and at least a chance when he finishes university one day to get a decent job.
Did you find cultural shock when you moved to the UK?
Actually, not. And, you know, you guys talk a lot about the United States' future, you know, would be what's happening in South Africa today. And I have to tell you, if the Brits don't wake up soon, they're going to be in for one massive surprise on this side as well. Because the extent to which political correctness and human rights are applied over here is equally shocking, and also what they referred to as multiculturalism, which is in actual fact just an excuse to break down any culture which remotely resembles our Western culture, you know. So, but in terms of the traditional British people, we actually fit it in, and I think culture-wise, and it wasn't really a culture shock at all. But I do see similar elements here from the so-called minorities that I saw in South Africa towards the end of the 80s. And it's actually very, very concerning, to be honest.
Well, how do they deal with the Mohammedans there? I mean, I know that like, for example, the Midlands. They have their own law practically up there, Sharia law.
That is correct, and that is a problem now because they want the Sharia law accepted throughout the UK. You know, they want the option of not the normal UK law or traditional UK law not being applied to them. So if there are any issues, any legal issues that, you know, they actually have the option to go to the Sharia courts. And how would you control something like that at the end of the day? I think it's ridiculous.
Yes, and they, you know, it seems that among the Anglo-Saxon people, there's a certain element, they have a visceral self-hatred for their culture and their civilization. I know three Scotsmen that here in New York that I talked to, and they said that after the war, you know, they're a bit older. They said, you know, they grew up poor, like for Christmas. They'd get an apple and an orange would be the present. They said, you know, we didn't have much, but everybody stuck out. And there was a real, real sense of community there. They said that was like the greatest period. People were nice in Britain at that time. But it's changed now. It's changed terribly with the influx of what they've got and the self-hatred. This, you know, you can't destroy a country from within unless you allow it. And there are those who are allowing it and those who want it, to want to see the symbol of a white Christian Western civilization destroyed. That's why they're destroying the UK.
Oh, absolutely. We've already had cases where Muslim children attending standard state schools here took the schools to court for, to be able to wear their full Muslim attire, which, according to even the Muslim Council in Britain, isn't a requirement by law. But they just want to enforce that, even though they obviously have their own Muslim schools and stuff. But it everything like that is just another step in the direction of enforcing one of their beliefs on what is essentially a Western culture.
That's right. That's right. You can't build a church in Saudi Arabia. You can't wear a crucifix. When our troops were there during Desert Storm, they didn't want them putting up Christmas lights. And we accede. We're always acceding to their culture, but they're never acceding to ours. And that's why I say they live among us, but not with us.
Absolutely. Did you know that there was a woman working for British Airways at the Heathrow Airport who was actually told that she couldn't wear a crucifix anymore or make sure it's not visible to customers?
I heard of that.
Because it was offending to other religious groups.
So sick. And that's when a culture doesn't believe in itself. That's when it destroys itself, because there was a time when it believed in itself, and that's when it's vigorous. And it's no longer there. It, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I was talking the other week that when you look at when white people ruled the world, there was much more tolerance. Right here in America, there was, back in the 50s, there was much, much more tolerance, which they love to throw around, which is a politically correct word, because political correctness turns the truth upside down. There was much more tolerance. Now people can't use a word. For example, the word for an Indian's, and I read this because, you know, I'm a stamp collector, and thanks for sending me the link. They have these duck stamps. The Department of Interior issues them, states issue them. For people, it's sort of it's a licensing stamp to hunt ducks. So
sure.
There was a duck called the long-neck squaw. Do you know they can't use that word anymore? They can't say squaw because it's going to offend the Beringians. You have Squaw Valley. You know, we can't use that word. They find it offensive. The Anasazi people who built these structures in the Great Southwest and turned out to be cannibals, and then they disappeared, and they always, you know, wondered how come. They don't call them Anasazi, which means the ancient ones, because the Navajo find that offensive or some crap. So they call them the ancient old Puebloans, the old Puebloans. Pueblo happens to be a Spanish word. So they, you know, you control the language, you control a culture, you control, and you control how people think. People, when a person senses themselves, that's like George Orwell's 1984. You censor the words that you use. I mean, is that how we're going to live now? Oh, I better not say this, because that's offensive, and this is offensive. I mean, you're never going to come across a person that gives a crap about Anasazi. You say that to people, but because a small group, now when you read Archaeology magazine and papers are written, papers are written, you know, by professors, they can't use that word Anasazi. They have to use old Puebloans because they can't be offensive.
That's absolutely ridiculous, but what I also always find very comical and astonishing, actually, is the moment you have some sort of debate or argument with a liberal, and you say something that, according to them, is politically incorrect, you know, you labeled as a Nazi.
Right,
when
right.
When you apply conservative ideologies, even though the Nazis had nothing to do with conservatism.
That's right.
I wonder if they don't think we find that offensive as well. You know, I find it offensive being labeled a racist or a Nazi for applying my conservative ideologies.
Sure, sure. And you know, the way they have it, if you call the, to me, being called a racist is being called, it's actually a heretic, because they've established a pseudo-ideology in the form of their own religion. And since religion says, you know, this is the word of God, is it, you can't go against it, well, by them calling you a racist, they're making you like Giordano Bruno, you're a heretic. I'm going to get going because the weather wasn't good here. How do you say in Afrikaans, I'm going to say it, but you got to correct me, Gesende Kierfis and Gelukkig Nieuwjaar.
That is very close. Gesende Kersfees en Voorspoedige Nuwejaar. Merry Christmas and prosperous New Year to you guys as well.
Okay. And I want to say bye a donkey for, first of all, what time is it over there? About 6:15, 7:15?
Yes, I think it's about 6:15.
For getting so up so early on Saturday to listen to our program, and I'm glad you were able to listen to some fellow Boers. Gaat zien jou aan de boerfolk. Say groete aan jou Hussein.
Thank you very much, Frank, and the same to you guys and everybody at the Right Perspective.
Tot ziens.
Tot ziens.